We're teaching on the subject of faith in the name of Jesus. I'm going to continue in this area. I want to talk about some things this morning because we talked about the prayer of faith. When we were teaching on the prayer of faith, we talked about prayer and use of the name of Jesus in prayer. And we did stuff, but we're getting over into this because we want to bring Jesus Christ and the name of Jesus to the forefront. Most people, their need is what their forefront is. And this is why most people, they don't get their prayers answered. They don't. They bring everything else to the forefront except what Scripture tells us to. And this is a hugely important thing. We teach the subject of faith and how to do it, how to walk in it, what to do it. But we need to understand what makes things work. You can turn around and go through the motions of what faith is and follow out all the practices of what it says to do, but it not work for you. We need to know that faith is from the heart, it's from the inside, it's out of your spirit. So you can operate in faith out of your head. But you know what will produce? Whatever's in your head, and that might not be good. See, I want to produce. Now, as number one, it's important you get things in your heart. You got to do that. And you got to get things in your heart, what you want to produce. The seed of the Word of God is going to produce no more in you than how good your soil is. Or I'd like to say it like this, how strong your heart is. See, we pray in the Holy Ghost what is to build ourselves up on our most holy faith. Most people have not got enough faith to produce much. They aren't doing. They don't pray in other tongues. They don't spend any time doing. They don't spend time in what the Word says to build yourself up. And what they're trying to do is they're trying to produce. It's like a farmer has soil that's not good, but he wants it to produce like the guy who has good soil. It ain't happening. It's not happening. So we need to understand this. There's things we got to get in us and understand. I want to deal with it. We're talking about faith in the name of Jesus. And last week, looking at the Scriptures and things that the Scriptures tell us concerning the name of Jesus. One of the things that I want to look at, because we're specifically talking about the name of Jesus in dealing with, right now, the works of Jesus. The works of Jesus are done by the name of Jesus. This is why we don't see so much of the works of Jesus today, because people are trying to do the works of Jesus without Jesus. They have very little faith in the name. They don't even know. The name is just an add-on thing. It's like years ago when I was a kid, they used to have the rabbit's foot, was supposed to give you good luck. Today, people have things like crystals and stuff and things that are supposed to, and people have stuff and they're supposed to give you good luck and things that are supposed to, the name of Jesus has become that to the church. It's just this nice thing that you tack on up here, and you use that name. But we find this out even when it comes to prayer. Many Christians pray and don't even have any faith in the name and don't even use the name in prayer. And I know why they don't. Because the use of the name causes controversy, especially publicly. I want to know this. I was asked one time about praying a prayer for a public thing. And I said, you need to understand, when I pray in the name of Jesus. If you don't want that there, you don't want me there. See, and somebody tells me to pray, I'm sorry. For me not to pray, for any Christian who prays and won't use the name of Jesus, I'm going to tell you what, I doubt if the Holy Ghost will ever move through that person till they repent. You cannot degrade Jesus Christ and the Holy Ghost like you at all. Jesus said, I'll forgive you for anything, but he said the Holy Ghost won't. You ain't ever going to walk in the glory of God without the Holy Ghost. So you best treat Jesus right. We need to honor him and bring him to the forefront. It's one of the things of worship. I love songs, though, especially that use the name of Jesus. We don't have that. You go listen to Christian music and, it's a lot of God stuff. A lot of God, 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 God. Well, the Muslims could sing a lot of our songs. Oh, they'd just throw Allah in there and it would just be fit right in there. No, we identify. Our God is the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. My salvation is through Jesus Christ. My salvation isn't through the Father, it's through the Son. The only way you can get to the Father is through the Son. It's the only way you can get there. So, the honoring of Jesus. You will never honor your Father God till you honor Jesus Christ. It'll never happen. We honor that name. Now, one of the things I want to read to us is from the Scriptures. This is a thing, especially this week, last week too, but into this week in prayer. as I'm praying, the Lord just keep bringing to me, because I've been praying about the move of God, the move of the Spirit, what God wants to do, His desire. So He's been emphasizing certain things to me about moving into things of the Spirit and what we have to do. It's not going to just happen. You know, you folks have heard me say this. There's going to one day all of a sudden a switch thrown, and God's going to fall on people and stuff, and things just going to work. God always does it through people, and other people move in line. We need to understand this, that people begin to move in line so God can use them. You know, praying about this move of God, I read a minister said this, really a piece of wisdom. He said, we're not praying for this last time revival and this end time move of God to try to get God to do something. God's already declared He wants to do this. What we're doing is we're praying so we can come in line, so He can get us straightened out to bring it. And if you ain't praying, you ain't going to get in line to get used. I can't pray to get you in line to use. What you need to change, I wouldn't know what it is unless God told me. And if God told me, you may not like hearing me say it. So you just go ahead and go to God and find out what it is, that He don't have to tell anybody else the dumb things you've done. See, I found out, that's one of the things. Go to God about it. Don't wait. Well, I want the preacher to tell me what I need. Are you sure? Do you want God to speak? Or I would go to Him and me. I go to Him first and let Him tell me, so He don't have to go tell somebody else what an idiot I've been. Most people wait till it gets public. You know, I always like the people who repent when they get caught, but they never repent as long as they can get away with it. Those people will never amount to too much. If you always wait to get caught, when you get caught, then repentance. Your repentance don't mean much to you. Oh, this guy, where did I come to church for this morning? I'll tell you. You know, I'll tell you what. I'm full of the Holy Ghost. I'll tell you what. Glory to God. But see, these things we need to do. You don't wait till you get caught. You know, most people, they get into trouble and then something bad happens in their life. And now I want to repent of what I did wrong and try to get all this. That's good to want to do that. Don't wait. Don't wait. Hallelujah. You're messing up and you know it. Get in line. But over in John, the Lord keeps dealing with John, the 14th chapter. In verses 12 through 14, it says, Jesus said, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. Greater works than these will he do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father is glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now, but you need to take, those scriptures are absolutely wonderful and glorious. But the Lord dealt with me concerning this, and He said, you got to make this stuff personal. He said, you need to meditate on this till it gets real to you. You see, we read those things, but you know, it says there, you know, He said, He made the statement there, he who believes in me, and you know, is meditating. Am I a believer? Well, if I'm a believer, then this is talking about me. So I need to take that thing and bring it to me personally. He's talking to me personally. I'm a believer. See, it doesn't matter what I do here, it's what you do with it. See, to each of us, this is a personal thing. I can't have my faith for you when you don't have it. We can only go, you know, even in agreement, I can only agree with you as far as your faith goes. My believing beyond you ain't much help at all. See, agreement prayer is based on the lowest level of faith. It's whoever has the lowest level of faith. That's where it's at. Understand that. Now, the person who wants the agreement for a thing, a person up here could believe here and they believe down here. That wouldn't do any good. There wouldn't be any agreement. You know, if I'm speaking from up here and they're speaking from down here and believing from down here, there's no agreement there. The agreement always has to be done on the level. And that's why if your faith's up here, you don't look for somebody's face down here. Loads of people come along and they can't believe for nothing, and they'll say, I'll agree with you on that. They couldn't agree with the person. You know, you don't look for somebody that can't get delivered themselves and try to get them to turn around and agree with you on you know, your deliverance. And you'd say, I'll believe God with you. Yeah, yeah. When you can't get nothing. Now, come on. You know, this is why, you know, we need to understand this. The Bible calls that, when you do that to somebody, it's actually called this, lying. You're perpetrating a lie that you can meet them on the level they're at. If I can't, I'd tell a person immediately if I couldn't meet and say, well, no, I can't go with you there. I'm not going to lie about it. Because I done read the Bible and it says all liars are going to be in a lake of fire. It didn't say some of them. Okay, we'll get over to this other thing, okay? We'll go over here to that. See, we don't want to do that stuff. See, if we don't deal with these things, see, God's turning, God wants to move through us. I'm a believer. Now, Jesus made this statement. The guy who believes in me, the works that I do, he'll do also, and greater works than he will do because I'm going to the Father. In other words, I'm a believer, therefore, the works that Jesus does, I will do the same works. I will. So you gotta bring it to the first person. You gotta bring it to you. I will do greater works than he does. Why? Because he's going to the Father. I will do them. Jesus, that's just me declaring what the Bible says about me. About me, the believer. Me, the believer, it is absolutely ordinary that I would do the works of Jesus. It would be unordinary. It would be weird that I wouldn't. And then say, I'm a believer. The works that he does, I'll do also. And greater works I'm going to do because he went to the Father. Now, see, we need to get this in us. We need to get these things. You're not going to get it this Sunday here just because you hear me saying it. I haven't even got the full thing on this thing yet. But I'll tell you, there's a bunch working in me, dear Lord. Hallelujah. You're going to have to work at this. You're going to have to sit down and meditate on some things and stop the nonsense of what you think's important. You're going to have to shut things off from other people and what they want to do and places they want to go and what you want to go or do this and that. You're going to have to stop and say, what is really important? Is this last time revival, this move of the Spirit, is important enough for me to want to lay other things down to go step into it? We have to decide this. It's always going to cost us things. It's always going to. Whatever you do the most of is the most important to you. Oh, we love Jesus, but this is much more important over here. You know, it's like the guy, he's running around with other women. I love my wife, you know. And the wife that's running around with her husband. But I love him, you know. We all know. Hallelujah. Well, Jesus said this. He said, and whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. So whatever I do in the name of Jesus, Jesus will do it so the Father's glorified. Whatever I do in the name of Jesus, Jesus will do it. See, religion hates to talk like this because it's acting like God, and religion hates to act like God. Religion hates to act like God. They'll call you everything in the book. I know I've had people write stuff about me and that stuff because, well, who does he think he is? I'm exactly what the Bible says I am. I'm a believer, and they're not. They don't believe. They don't believe. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Jesus said, verse 4, if you ask anything in my name, I'll do it. Now, we're talking about the works of Jesus, doing the works of Jesus, healing the sick, casting out devils. This is what we're talking about. This is the works of Jesus. Jesus just said, anything that you ask in my name, I'll do it. So I can say that anything I ask in Jesus' name, he'll do it. See, you got to get that into you. You got to meditate on these things till they just come. You got to walk, you got to get confessing and saying these things till it gets past your unrenewed mind. It gets down into your heart so it can turn it around the other way and get your mind renewed, to get your mind over in the area, with the inside. Do you know anybody that's having trouble with their flesh dominating and ruling them, you know why? It's because their flesh is stronger than their inner man. When the flesh dominates and when the flesh rules, this is what faith is about, whether it's for healing or whatever it is. You're trying to get the inner man to become stronger than what's going on in the outer man. If you don't get it that way, if you don't get the inner man stronger, the outer man wins. It's about getting stronger on the inside. It's about getting built up on the inside. It's not about the outside. On the outside, this is why, you know, from a health standpoint, you know, people thank God for what doctors can do, but they're limited on what they can do. So what is on the outside in the flesh, many times people, you know, they're going to do so much. If you want to change it, you got to get it on the inside of you, where your inside becomes stronger and the outside submits to it. The outer man submits to the man on the inside. That's the place where faith's at. That's where the power's at. That's where God's glory is. That's what changed things. The same Spirit raised from the dead dwells in you. He don't dwell in your flesh. He dwells in your spirit. And if you want to contact that power in there, you do it by the inner man, not by the outer man. Hallelujah. You know, if I wanted to do something the outside of where I live, I don't ask the outside what it wants. I do to it what I want. I'm the guy that lives in the house. I run the thing. And I'll tell you what, there's a man inside of me, the real Ed Gibson inside of me, and he's talking to the outer man and telling it to shut up and sit down, be quiet. I don't care what you want to do. You ain't doing that today. Today you're going to pray. Today you're going to seek God. Today we're going after something. This is what we're going to do today. You're going to have to do that. That inner man is after God, and he wants to get close to God. And many people, everybody wants to be close to God without going after God. Hallelujah. I have flesh just like you. Mine's stupid just like yours. But I'll tell you, the guy on the inside's bigger than the man on the outside. I'm going to tell you, there's a giant inside of me. And man, I tell you, it seemed like this week he got big. My God. He wants to get turned loose. He can't wait to get a new body. He can't wait to get this ugly dead thing off and put on something glorious. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory to God. My. Hallelujah. We're doing the works of Jesus. We were talking last week. We looked up at Philip, went down to Samaria. He preached Christ to him. The Bible tells us of what he went and preached. He preached things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus. And we found out what happened down there, that people, you know, the people were healed and made whole. We look at what the Word of God had said concerning that. Concerning the word down there that was used for people being delivered and set free was the Greek word sozo, which is important. See, because here's the thing, you got to get out of your mind. Because most Christians, they read the Bible and they see the word saved. The first thing they think, forgiveness of sin, forgiveness of sin. People got saved. Most Christians don't even preach, and even evangelists don't even preach new birth anymore. They just preach forgiveness of sin. You know, forgiveness of sin ain't no good without the new birth. It don't do you any good. Any sinner, a sinner can say to God, forgive me, and God will forgive them, but they ain't going to heaven because God said he forgave them. They got to get born again. Nobody goes to heaven because everybody's sin's been forgiven. Everybody's sin. Jesus took the sin of the world. You got to get born again. But that word is always used in the scriptures. And sozo, we talk about what it means. It deals with healing, deliverance, and everything else. When you find Jesus healed people, that word is used. Healing's in it. This is why in Samaria, it said, what happened? Demons came out of people and the lame walked. All those things happened. Why? He preached the name. The name did that. We need to understand that God's name, when we look at God, God moves through the name of Jesus. That's what Jesus said when you pray. He said, in prayer, the Father will give you anything that you ask in my name. That's the authority of that name. God, our Father God, put that name in such authority that heaven does not answer prayer except it's through faith in the name of Jesus. It don't answer it. God don't answer your prayer because you got all the things of faith right. You can have all the things of faith, right? And your faith from that, if it's not faith in the name is why I am able to go to the Father. That's why he said, whatever you ask in my name. He didn't say whatever you ask. He said, whatever you ask in my name. I am guaranteed through faith in that name that my prayer will be answered. I am guaranteed that. The Father God will answer. And he is only moved by your faith. Without faith, you can't please him. Most Christians never please God. They're always trying to figure out getting to God through their ideas and their ways and their thinking. I'm going to tell you, my faith is based in that name. My faith is of no avail without that name. My faith produces nothing without that name. My prayer life is a dead prayer life without faith in that name. God responds to me, not because Ed Gibson's bright or he knows rules and regulations in the Bible and he knows. God moves because Ed believes in that name. And the more confidence I have in that name, the more heaven moves. That is not just a name of authority, that's a name of power. That name will produce. You'll find in scriptures as we look at this thing, the name of Jesus, the name of Jesus being present, the name of Jesus by faith, it's just as if Jesus Christ is present with you. It's just as if Jesus is right there. His name to the church is identical in authority and power. And we need to get a hold of this from a scriptural standpoint. I had some things I was going to go to, but the Holy Ghost keeps telling me to do something else. And so we're going to. Hallelujah. I want to go over to Matthew. Because we're going to be doing this today anyhow. We're going to be in that there, so it's good that we go there. Go to Matthew 18. Matthew 18. Listen, I want you to see this thing. I want you to read it. See, we read scriptures and we say, you know, we see where it says, you know, in Christ and in His name and stuff. And we read through there. And there are just things we just sort of jump over to what we think is important. You know, Jesus said what we do in His name. Now, I want you to understand this. And here's where people have little faith concerning the name. See, I'm in the name. Any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. It's what we do in Him. See, we're in that name. That's why we have the authority of that name, because we're in that name. Paul wrote to the church at Corinth and told him, he said, you know, he went through the things about not being unequally yoked with unbelievers, went in about the idol thing, and he said, the church is Christ. My words, you call yourself Christ, and I'm going to tell you what, the religious group rise up with their stones. They always carry them with them. They got their stones, and boy, they're out. Who do you think you are? Christ. The church is Christ. The head don't go by one name, and the body goes by another. But I want you to see this. In Matthew 18, and down in verse 18 says, now listen, this is Jesus. Again, this is one of those Jesus talk things. You need to go over and look at these things and meditate on them. They become real, because if they don't, there's a lot of areas your Christian life won't work, that you'll always be mediocre in until these things become real, because these deal with the place of our authority. And if you don't, I don't care if you're born again, if you don't walk in your authority, things ain't going to work for you. The devil can come and eat your lunch anytime he likes. He's like a roaring lion. He's looking for who he can eat. He always eats the guy who don't walk in his authority. That's why. That's who he gets to eat. The person that thinks, well, I'm a Christian. I'm just, oh, you know, God loves me. Great. There's loads of Christians that God loved, the devil ate. Hallelujah. We walk in authority. Verse 18. Assuredly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. That's such a phenomenal statement. In other words, what heaven gets behind is what here on the earth we get behind. What heaven gets behind. But now we're going to find out about it. Now, so in other words, whatever we hear, what are we going to allow to happen or not allow to happen? See, we need to understand, that's why I say the condition of this nation is identical to the condition of the church. It's identical to the condition of believers. Self-centered, selfish, not really after God, not really caring about God, talk about it, say, yeah, yeah, well, we love the Lord, and blah, 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 go through there. I mean, you know, they'll come, oh, my Jesus died for my sins. Yes, it's Easter. He was raised from the dead. Ooh, let's go home now. We're done. And that's as far as it goes. They won't live the next day like Jesus rose from the dead. They'll say, God's in me. They won't live 2 minutes like God's in them. They're all out there. I mean, there's people who love God and are nice people, but they're searching for God. They're searching for God. I'm not searching from God. I pray to God to get this boy straightened out so this guy can just, God can move in and take over. God's not holding out. We're holding out. He's only allowed to have a little bit of us, a little of this and a little of that. He's allowed to have certain things, but other stuff, you get your hands off of it. That's mine. That's right. Woo! Good preaching, Ed. Hallelujah. Folks, I know I've been there. You just come along. You know, I Mr. says, oh yeah, I'll just throw it all to you, Jesus. You can have all of me. He's had to fight to get stuff. And some of you, he's had to fight more than he did me. Woo, well, I'll go on and read some more here. We'll read some of this other stuff. Hallelujah. Listen, he says, again, I say to you, verse 19, that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask. Now, in other words, they have to be in agreement. It can't be something, you know. We're not, when we're dealing with spiritual here, we're not dealing with physical. In your mind, you can agree to anything. It's what's produced in your heart. It's what you can agree with. This is it. It'll be done for you by my Father, which is in heaven. And now he's going to tell you how it works, why it works. Listen, and verse 20. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, what? Gathered together in my name. That's not going to church. People come to church and they ain't coming in the name. They're just doing their religious duty and going through their stuff. This is not what this scripture is talking about, agreement, not going to church. Well, you know, Jesus is here. Well, sure, Jesus is here. I know for sure because Ed's here. I know for sure because of me he's here. But is he here because of you? I don't know that. You have to decide that. But because I know he's here. But he may not. He can. Jesus is here. God is everywhere. Does he manifest everywhere? No. He doesn't. He doesn't manifest everywhere. Now, he said, if they're gathered in my name, he says this, I am there in the midst. Why? The name is as if Jesus Christ himself is present. People say, well, I wish Jesus would just show up. I wish Jesus would hear. I'll tell you what, when I get over in faith and I'm in the name of Jesus, he's there. His name is just as if he is present. It's just as if he... See, we got to get... This is the things that we need to meditate on till they become real to us. That we're not making these statements. I'll tell you what, this stuff becomes real to you. You won't have to try to get God to drag you to a prayer closet. You'll build one quick. You'll want to get in there with him and start, my God, devil, I'm coming in with God. You're in trouble now. Hallelujah. It's hard to bling. You know, look, if you don't get into these things and get these things blowing up in the side of you, your flesh will keep ruling. I know. Your flesh will be there. You go sit down and you'll start to pray and is the coffee pot left on? And you'll quit and go, oh, look, so maybe I left. Maybe this or that. Oh, did I check that other thing? See, you're all laughing because you do that all the time, don't you? Every time you want to get over to do something, there's an excuse comes, you know. Now we got a wonderful excuse, your phone. If you can't turn that sucker off, you need delivered. You got a demon. You have done yielded that thing where the devil's holding you. I'm going to tell you, there's loads of Christians got devils dominating them because they can't. I'm going to tell you, their phones are God. Well, what if something happens? I can't. I'm in that closet with God. I'm going to tell you, ain't nothing happening but me and God. And if God, if I have to stay in tune with everything in the natural so God can move spiritually, it's now number one, that's totally against the word, but this is the things that we believe. My security for me and my family is not based in my phone. You know, they talk about, you know, if we, you know, one of these, the sun, you know, sends the particles and that stuff, and they have those big blasts on the sun and send all those radioactive particles and that stuff to the earth, said could knock out the grid, would be good for a while. Somebody might have to believe in God. Their phone don't work, it may be a wonderful thing. Then they can't say they don't have time to pray. I want to tell you something. Don't keep asking God to work in you and do things for you and you keep messing with the other stuff all the time and never laying it down. I'm just going to tell you this. He may take it out of our hands. It may be a good thing. See, sometimes, I'm going to tell you what. Under pressure is where you learn. Your faith will never start. You'll either put yourself under pressure or the devil will. The devil's going to come and lay the pressure on. Great faith is based in great trials. You're going to have to face things. You have a choice. You can do things to allow God to train you and do things to train yourself or be forced into training. Most people, they wait till things happen in their life and now they're forced to be trained. That's a hard way to do it. When your flesh is dominating you, it's hard to deal with training of the spirit when the flesh is ruling. It's hard. I'm telling you, I know. Been there, done that. I'm not throwing rocks. I'm just telling you. Look, it's like Brother Hagin told us. He used to say, if you'll listen to what I teach you, you won't have to go through some of the things that I went through. If you'll listen to me, there's things you won't have to go through. I went through them. We don't need to go, somebody else go through it again to prove it's right. Don't be that idiot. I just wanted to make sure he was doing it right, so I wanted to go through the same thing. There's a lot of things we can get out of, a lot of things we don't have to get under the pressure of if we learn to train and not be forced to train. It's a lot harder. A lot harder. Hallelujah. I know this, and I've watched over the years, the more people get over into the area where their flesh dominates them, it gets harder to grab a hold of things spiritually. It gets harder. It doesn't get easier. It requires more to do it. It requires more. In the natural, it's like that. You know, it's just like when I was in Vietnam, there's some, just like Mike's talking, with people washing out. He talked about his father getting through. But you know, there's people even who get through, and they get through is because they're not necessarily really diligent at what they do. They're good. And then the pressure comes. You find out the people who are undisciplined, who didn't listen to the discipline, didn't listen. Because when pressure comes, it shows up. Whatever you got in you, when pressure comes, you know, they say it's like a tube of toothpaste. You don't squeeze your toothpaste tube and mashed potatoes come out. Whatever's in that tube is what comes out. Whatever's in you is going to come out under pressure. Whether it's God or whether it's the flesh has been dominating, that's what comes out on the squeeze. That's just the way it is. It's not, gee, maybe I don't want to go after God so much. It's the way it is. It's life. Everybody's under that. Sinners are under the same thing, whatever in them, when a squeeze comes. See, the devil's squeezing in our nation. That's why we have these two sides that are so messed up. It's because of the squeeze. And the church is sitting around and wondering why these people are doing what they're doing. They're doing what's in them. What I don't understand is what the church is doing. Because all they got is mashed potatoes. That's all they got. They don't have inside what it takes. And I'm going to tell you, it takes the discipline. Paul. That's why Paul used the thing of a soldier. A soldier doesn't live his life to himself. A Christian, your life isn't your own. Your life's not your own. You've got to come to that fact. You want to grow up spiritually? Why don't you give up that stupid life you got you think so important? Now, we work jobs, and you work jobs, you do this. There's nothing wrong. That's part of it. But there's so much of our life, it's tied to us. And God don't get a say yet. He only gets the say when I have a need. Then I want, hey, Lord, I got this problem. Give us. But meanwhile, in between, our life's ours. We're making the decisions of what we want to do and where we want to go. What we want to do and believe in life and what you want. We don't do what Jesus did in the garden. There was the will of God, and I'm going to tell you what, he had flesh like yours and mine. He didn't want to go through all that. He didn't want to. But he stayed in the face of God till there was something happened, and is what you need to learn to do. You will never bring your flesh under without God. He prayed till angels showed up and strengthened him, the Bible says. But he stayed there till he committed to what God wanted to do and not what he wanted to do. Peter really did wanted to go the whole way with Jesus. I will guarantee you, Peter, in his heart, he wasn't just making a statement. He wanted to die with Jesus. I'll die with you. And what did Jesus tell him out in the garden? Every time Jesus is down praying, he comes back, they're sleeping. Jesus told Peter, the spirit's willing, but he said the flesh is weak. In other words, the weakness of the flesh, that weakness of flesh is so strong, That weakness, he called it weakness. But that weak flesh is so strong that Peter couldn't follow what was in his heart. Peter could have done the same thing in the garden. Jesus came and say to them, pray lest you fall into temptation. What? The temptation of the flesh. Jesus prayed till his flesh was bought under, and he was just like any other man. He had to rely on the power of God to bring his flesh under. And he prayed till the power that in him was greater on the inside than the flesh forcing on the outside. That weakness of flesh. Your weakness of your flesh is your major problem, not the devil. I'm totally convinced of this. Most of the problems in the church world today are not the devil. They are people, weak flesh, don't know how to deal with their flesh. And he said, pray lest you fall into temptation. He told them. He could have joined the Lord over and there and committed his flesh to do the will of God, and he didn't. They slept. Have you ever known that you were supposed to be praying and you slept? Isn't it amazing you could be wide awake till you want to pray? Well, then get up and walk around and pray. Everybody's wide awake, come to church and fall asleep. Why? Weakness of flesh. Weak flesh. Well, you got to do something about that. You're not going to do it. You're not going to go, my willpower. You get a hold of God till you get strong on the inside. Where that inner man says the outer man, you ain't sleeping, you knucklehead. I ain't going to let you. Oh, I need my 8 hours of sleep at night. You need delivered. God might want you in the middle of the night. Do you know this? The majority of people who die in a hospital die at night. The devil does his work at night. When the Christians go to sleep, the devil goes to kill him. God can have me at nighttime. I tell him when I go to bed, if you want to wake me to do something, you just go right ahead. I'm available. But I need my 8 hours. I got to work tomorrow. I know I don't. I don't do nothing. You know us ministers, we just lay around and we just don't do nothing. You people wouldn't be surprised how little sleep I get sometimes. And I'll tell you what, I'm full of energy. I go out and run and walk. If that's all you got going for you is your flesh, and you have to give your flesh what it wants to keep it happy, to make it strong, poor old you. There's a greater one inside of me. Glory to God. There's a power in me. Woo! I go to, this is no lie. I get praying at nighttime. See, I do a lot of praying at nighttime before I go to bed, and even when I get in bed, I do praying at nighttime. That's just, that's me. I just do it at nighttime. I'll get up in the morning and pray some, but major praying I do at nighttime. Wanda goes to bed, and I pray, and I go to, I'll get so fired up on the inside, I lay down in bed, I can't go to sleep. I'll just lay there, and I'll lay there half the night. And my inside's going crazy, and I think I might as well just go along with it and pray and lay there and pray in other tongues and do things. And in the morning, I just get up the regular time I always get up. There's something working on the inside. Believe me, I had a fight. The veil in the temple, the veil to the holiest holies, the flesh is a type of the veil. Your flesh, if you can't get through the veil of the flesh, you don't get to the glory. If you can't get past that veil of your flesh, you can't step into the glory. You got to get past that veil. And your flesh is a veil. You see, we think about a veil. The Bible talks about Moses. They put a veil over him. That veil they put over his head didn't, Moses wasn't walking into walls. See, you could see through a veil. A veil sometimes can be seen through. And many times we look through that veil of our flesh, and we can see the glory on the other side, but we don't push through that veil to get to that glory. We pamper the flesh. You cute little thing. I don't want you disturbed. I don't want you to feel bad. I don't want you, oh my God. Oh, we can't miss lunch. No. My belly talks. I listen. Oh, yeah. Fasting and prayer. We don't do that. That's out anymore. It's three meals and a thank you, Lord. We don't make the flesh. We don't make the flesh stop. Now, I'm talking experience. I'm not telling you something. It's just this wonderful man. You just, no, you fight the flesh and you deal with these things. You fight in the flesh. But you've got to get through to the glory of God, or you'll never bring this thing under. The glory. And see, we're talking about the name of Jesus. This is why you get over into the Word of God till the Word becomes so real to you of what it says that you can't see it any other way. When you look at the name of Jesus, this thing of authority that's given us, but this thing of power, this name has the power if two believers, anything they ask. And he didn't put any stipulations on it. He didn't say sometimes yes, sometimes no. He said none of that. Why? Because the people who pray, who say that kind of things, they have no faith in the name. And they read the scriptures and say, well, you can't get saved in any other name. In other words, that name has the power to save an individual. They think it's the prayer. It's faith in the name that saves. That's what they preached in the New Testament in the book of Acts. It's not what's preached today. It isn't till we come in line with the Word of God we're going to see things change. Oh, my. We'll see things change. It'll blow our little minds. The gospel's not preached like it was in the book of Acts. It's not preached today. We have New Testament church that has some other religion that they call New Testament. But it's not based on what the Word of God teaches. See, we left the simplicity. We've added and added and added things. Just like the Jews did to the law. They kept adding things to it and adding things to it. And when Jesus came along and said, yeah, you guys, I got all these stuff you do and all these different things, but you don't know God. See, they added all this stuff. They called it, you know, God. You know, the disciples are walking through the fields. And taking grain, pulling it off and eating them. Hey, your guys are washing. They're eating without washing their hands. The law says that never was in the law. They added that to the law. That's why Jesus didn't stop his disciples from doing it. If it was in the law, his disciples would have sinned, and Jesus sinned by rebuking them for it. It wasn't in the law. And our nice little Christian traditions today are keeping the lame lame, that keeps the blind from not seeing, keeps the deaf from not hearing. Our religious traditions, instead of faith, in the simplicity of faith in the name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's stand to our feet. Holy Ghost, you want to do things today. Hallelujah. Today. Today. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Lord. Lord, you just came to a halt. What do you want to do? Because we just want to do what you want to do. Do what you want to do. Hallelujah. Let's just pray a little bit. I want to make sure that we're hooked up here with what Lord wants to do today. Hallelujah. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. I'll do that. Hallelujah. Well, sometimes you just need to get direction on a thing. There's a lot of things we could do that moving in line. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Eileen wants an agreement today. We want to share some things in the Word because of being in line. And so I like to be in line with what the Scripture says. See, it's faith in the Word of God that brings to pass. So in other words, our agreement is not of importance if it's just our things. Number one, when we know what the Word says, we can always have faith in what the Word will do. See, this is important things. You know, sometimes, you know, people, and you've heard me talk about, people just want to get prayed for right away. There's one thing as I learned from Kenneth Hagin. Kenneth Hagin, he'd stop. He would explain what the Holy Spirit wants to do and what how he wants to carry it out, what he wants to do it. Why? Because you follow it in line with Scripture, then people can be in faith and move. Now, we looked at the fact of agreement. Now, understand this. It doesn't take the whole bunch of us to agree with her. We know this, that if only two Christians got together in the name of Jesus, it only requires two to do it. Now, it's wonderful. It's one of the things, it's encouraging to this standpoint, especially when the body of Christ can move together. You know, it is just wonderful to know you got people standing with you in the same direction. Now, what we're going to do here today, I want you to understand this. If you can't agree in the direction, it's no bad thing. You know, some people are better level of faith than other people are sometimes, and that's all right. That there's nothing wrong with that. What you do is you just go to neutral. You kick her in neutral, and who can stand and believe. That's it. You know, it's no shame on anybody else. Sometimes people are not. They haven't been in Word enough to know how to grab a hold of certain things, and that's fine. Everybody has to grow up, and it takes time. It don't happen overnight. We just can't throw a switch and grow up. My God, it's took a long time for the Lord to get me into some places. Dear God. So we're not criticizing, but we're saying, don't get over into things of, well, I don't know about that. And they're just throw her neutral. Hallelujah. And let it work. But I want to read the Scripture, and familiar. We all know it, but I want to read it to us from the Bible. We could quote. But it says here in 1 Peter 2:24 says this, who himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we, having died to sin, might live to righteousness. Hallelujah. We died to sin and might live to righteousness. He died with on the cross. He didn't cry just to do about the sin problem. It's about dealt with the righteousness problems. He forgave your sin. But it's so we can live in the area of righteousness, or what, and we need to understand is what's right. Because then he makes this statement, by whose stripes you were healed. He makes the statement of righteousness. See, it's right that you'd be healed. It's right. That's righteousness. Righteousness is about doing what's right. God did what was right. And by his stripes, he took upon him was for our healing. In other words, himself is like we find in Isaiah, and it's stated from Isaiah. Isaiah made the statement that with his stripes we're healed. But in the New Testament, it's declared that by his stripes we are healed. And we also have from Isaiah, from the saying that himself took our infirmities and bore our sickness. That's what he did. Jesus Christ took them and bore them. He's not going to bear them now. He's not going to take them now. See, when I learned this, especially in the areas of faith, I'm not trying to get God to heal me. I'm not going to be healed. I am. I'm not going to be healed. I am healed. I am healed. Oh my God, that gets in you. You'll take a running spell. My God. If you can't take a running spell, believe in that. You may never see the healing come to take a running spell. You may never see it show up. See, it's what we do in faith. The most powerful things that we do in faith is at the time when you can't see, you can't feel, you can't, and you act like the Word of God is true. That's the most powerful thing that you can ever do. Thomas, the unbeliever, he's not. Jesus said he was going to be raised from the dead. People came and said he was raised from the dead. Thomas didn't. I'll only believe if I can see and touch. I'm a touch and feel believer. Did Jesus commend him? Jesus said, the guy that's blessed, who hasn't seen, he hasn't touched, he hasn't felt. Folks, you're the most blessed people in the crowd. Because you haven't seen, you haven't touched, and yes, you believed. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm the most blessed guy in the crowd. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm blessed. I believe in one I didn't see. I didn't have to feel something. The night I got saved, I didn't feel a pain. People say, oh man, this big weight rolled off of me. Well, glory to God, you had one. I don't know. Maybe it was something that fell on you. I don't know. But anyhow, you may have had a feeling. I had no feelings whatsoever. But inside, I just knew I did the right thing. But I want to tell you what. A lot of people I know that said they felt this, they felt that. But I was different than them. My non-feeling, but my faith turned into something with a changed life. And I know many people had felt something and their lives didn't change. Hallelujah. Faith will change. Faith changes things in the natural. That's what it does. Faith changes things in the natural. The unseen, we touch in, and that's what we're doing today. We're touching into the unseen, and we're saying the unseen is real when the seen looks like it ain't real at all. The seen says no, no, no. Whether the doctor says, all the seen says no, no, no. But God said yes, yes, yes. Hallelujah. Now you agree with that? Hallelujah. See, she is healed. She's not going to get healed. Hallelujah. And the whole thing is walking in faith. Walking in faith. And so what we have to do in agreeing with her is we're going to agree today. We're going to agree with her. And our agreement is, number one, it's in the name of Jesus. Jesus Christ, in His name and through faith in His name, is present when we use it. Did Jesus Christ ever say to somebody who came to Him, I ain't going to heal you? He only does that in churches today. He only does that today. He keeps them sick for a reason. He just... Some great spiritual. Hallelujah. But He don't in this house. Hallelujah. And I'm talking about this house, people, house. I ain't in this building. I don't know what all goes on here. Hallelujah. But I know when I hear the power of God's here. Yes. Hallelujah. That's what I know. Glory to God. And we're in agreement. We're in agreement because Jesus Christ, it's in the name of Jesus. He said, if we agree in His name, Jesus Christ has given us the authority to use His name, and that name is the power to change whatever it is we've agreed upon. His name. His name is the power. The Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is 100% behind Jesus. 100%. He's behind Jesus. He'll never make Jesus out to be a liar. He'll never do that. He's 100% behind that name. We're not trying to send out and get something sent from heaven. We're not trying to get something sent from heaven down here. That's unbelief. Healing's in the earth. It's right here now. The baptism of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is here now. We're not trying to get heaven to send something. That's all here right now. All of that's here in the earth right now. What we're doing is just grabbing by faith of what's ours, yet the outside looks like it ain't so, but it don't matter. I don't care what the outside says. The outside's a lie because I've heard the truth. I've heard the truth. I'm not going to turn around and say, hey, you know, body, you're telling the truth and Jesus is the liar. I'm not going to do that. Hallelujah. See, when we agree, we're agreeing on what Jesus said. Jesus says she's healed. Jesus took her. He's not going to. He ain't going to take her infirmities. He ain't going to bear her sicknesses. That's already a done deal. Jesus didn't promise to heal her. I hear Christians say that, but Jesus promised. You show me a promise in prayer, He promised to heal us. Healing is a done deal. It's a done deal. It's already done. Glory to God. It's already finished. It's already completed. Hallelujah to Jesus. So we're going to ask Eileen to come. Hallelujah. And we're going to agree with her. Hallelujah. Her kidneys are acting up. And I'll tell you what, we're acting up bigger than they are. Amen. Hallelujah. I just want to say, this ain't no big deal. This ain't no big deal. No. If this is big to Jesus, I hope nothing bad happens. A poor guy, what's he going to do? Hallelujah! This ain't no big deal. Because Jesus, 2,000 years ago, already took this infirmity. Whew, aren't you glad He took it? It ain't yours no more. Woo! Glory to God. It ain't yours. He took it. Hallelujah. Devil, Jesus took it. Jesus done took it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Jesus done took it. And in His name it has to go. We agree in the name of Jesus that our sister Eileen is healed in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, she's healed. Lord God, I'm so excited. I'm so glad. I'm so glad her kidneys are functioning like they're supposed to. I'm so glad she's well from the top of her head to the soles of her feet. I'm glad, Lord God. Hallelujah. It's done, finished, completed. Hallelujah. Lord God, we're not going to be moved by what anybody else says or thinks. We're only moved by the Word of God. Hallelujah. And it's true, and it's so in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Praise your name. Praise your name, Lord God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Woo! I tell you, people, get happy. Get happy. Now, I want you. Now, people get all excited if you know she's up here and had a lame leg and ran back through. But see, when people can't see something, they don't shout about it. You ought to be as happy. Glory to God, she's healed. My God. I'm going to have to bring some hand grenades to church, get people move a little bit. Dear God. My God, we'll have to get, maybe they'll get those paddles and put them on some people here and wake them up, see if they're breathing or living or not. Hallelujah. Man, if you can't shout now, you can never shout. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He's done it. He's done it. Now, whenever we think about it, whenever we think about it, whenever we think about it, it's praise God, the works are done in the name of Jesus. It's done in Jesus' name. Glory to God. It can't be done any other way, or Jesus' name's a lie, and His name cannot be a lie. Hallelujah. That's the truth. Woo! It can't be. Woo! Hallelujah. Glory to God. See, the man's crazy. I tell you what. I'm insane. Let me go. Woo! The word's true. The word's true. I'm tired of the thief stealing and killing and destroying. You know what the Lord told me? I'm going to say this to you. There's too many here. You got to get past your fears. You got to get strong. You got to get mad at sickness. You got to get tired of the weakness in your body. You got to get fed up with it. Don't expect God to get fed up with it till you do. Get fed up with it. Get fed of the weakness of the flesh. Get fed up with it. I'm tired of this. I'm not going to live like this anymore. The devil ain't dominating and ruling me. The doctor ain't going to be my best friend. Hallelujah. 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 I'm on a Jesus is my best friend. I'm on a hook up with Jesus. We got to get tired of this. We put up with too much because we don't get fed up with the things that are going on, because it's easy in our society to go get a little help, and you know, we can keep the pain away enough and do enough stuff that we can just go on some and we're happy with it. That's why you go to other countries, you see so much miracles. It's because they don't have plan B. They're not plan B Christians like America. America's full of plan B. I ain't happy with just getting feeling a little better. I want to be whole. Jesus made me whole. And that's what happened. No other way than whole and sound. No other way. Hallelujah. I don't let the devil steal from us. Get mad. Sin. It's a sin. You know, I kind of think it says, it helped me so much when I was a young Christian. I was only born again maybe a few months. And on a tape, I was listening to him. And he said this. He said, it ain't a sin to get sick, but it's a sin to stay sick. I was glad he said it. Didn't hurt my little wimpy feelings. Go home, I got my toes stepped on at church. You should have had your rear end kicked. Wimp. Toes? You know why? Because sin is the author of sickness and disease. And to tolerate it is to tolerate what sin, where it came from. Don't tolerate it. This is one of the great successes that I've had in the walk in the areas of healing and getting a hold of the miraculous. Because I refuse to put up with sickness. I hate it. When I see it on people, I hate it. You know, when I found out about Eileen, I hated it. She's my sister. She ain't in another family and somebody else's sister. She's my sister, and the devil tried to get her. Do you care that much? Well, as long as it don't happen to me, you know, He's trying to bring his garbage. The garbage that he came into the earth through sin. I don't want it dominating her. I don't want it ruling her life. I want Jesus Christ ruling her life. I want Jesus Christ dominating her. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And that's what we're going to have.
Amen.
That's what we're going to have. Glory to God. Well, let me out done meddling. Woo! Glory to God. Hallelujah to Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. My desire is to see others well. This body is a family. That's why, you know, some people just go to, well, we go to church here, we go to church. Man, I tell you, this is a family. This is a place. This is a place people ought to be standing with each other. People ought to be behind. Not something, you know, when it's convenient, I'll be. And when it's not convenient, I won't be. It's about people. We're the body. And the body gets attacked. We all are attacked. We let it go. We let it go. See, it isn't, you know, well, man, I just really feel sorry for it. I don't feel sorry for it. I know Jesus. I can do something about it. Hallelujah. I have compassion for her, but I don't have sorrow. Feeling sorry means you're getting a box out for a person. People feeling sorry don't do nothing but bury people. Hallelujah. I don't need to feel sorry for the woman that's healed. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Woo! Why would I feel sorry about that? Hallelujah. See, I knew I was going to be doing this for her today. I knew that. I was praying it out this week. I was praying it out and I knew what was going to take place here. But I wanted to make sure I was going to do it the way the Lord wanted it done. We want to fall in line with. Hallelujah. Praise God. It's time to enter the miraculous. It's time to go into it. Look, it ain't going to fall on you. You're going to have to enter it. 1950, think about this. 1950, Jesus appeared to Kenneth Hagin and said this. 1950, you've entered the time of the miraculous. Where is it? See, we're here. People haven't jumped into it. They're still waiting for it. I'm not waiting for the miraculous. I'm not waiting for it. It's here. I'm entering into it. Hallelujah. I'm walking in the miraculous. The same works that Jesus did, I do. And greater works I do because He went to the Father. Whatever I ask in Jesus' name, He does it. Hallelujah. That's what the Bible says. I ain't lying and saying something else to please some people. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. This will be a place of deliverance. Amen. This is a place of the glory of God. This is not the place for religion. This is not to drag in what's of the past. This is to bring the glory of the future that was supposed to be poured out from the foundation of the earth. And we're standing in that day for that glory. And God is longing to pour it all out. Hallelujah. It's like from heaven. There's a great ball of fire that's moving toward this earth. And as that ball of fire gets closer, the more that glory does. And when that ball of fire finally hits the earth, there's people who have been walking and are walking by faith and they have prepared themselves and that fire is going to fall on them. That fire is going to come on. And I'll tell you what, we're going to have people rise up like you have never seen in your little mind before. And I want to, if you don't get over and go, you won't be able to imagine. You won't be able to think about it. You won't be able to have it on you. You'll wonder, well, why did God do that? You can get over in it where that fire comes and will come on you. The fire is not for ministers. It's for the body of Christ. That fire that is about to explode, it is so close. I get over in prayer and I almost sense like I can almost reach out and touch it. I know what it's doing to me. Just that fire getting close to me is changing me. Haven't you noticed? I'm not the same guy anymore. Hallelujah. Whew. In fact, I just don't know what to think about. The anointing just lingers on me. I've never had this before. It just lingers on me. It just stays there and stays there. We're touching something. There's something to be touching, something out there. And it's not me. It's not my great wisdom. But see, I'm tired of looking what I see. I'm tired of listening to the news reports. I'm tired of the political junk. Because the only fix is Jesus in these days. The only fix. If there's not the move of God, we must have the move of God. We need to lay aside all the other junk and the worry about all the other stuff in the natural. You know, we get over the thing. I'm going to tell you, don't worry about the money thing. Money will come. If the glory comes, money will come. No, it don't come from the people who don't ever give anyhow. But I'm going to tell you what, money will come. Money will flow. Money will flow. Hallelujah. I don't have to worry about that. If God don't take care of me, the job don't get done. And that's His fault. He ain't an idiot. He knows how to take care of me. He'll take care of me. Hallelujah. If He don't provide what I need, that's His problem, not mine. My job ain't to provide for my need. It's His job. He's the master, I'm the servant. If the master don't take care of me, if my job is to try to go around and get taken care of, then I got a lousy master. But I tell you, I don't have a lousy master. I have the best master. Hallelujah. Oh, my. He has said such glorious things. This is what I encourage you to do. And it'll be a great help to you. Kenneth E. Hagin had a number of visions, especially where Jesus, there's things that he has that the Lord talked to him about, wonderful revelations, but especially the revelations that came through his visions where Jesus appeared to him. They were revelations basically of things that had been lost in the church and he brought back. And the whole purpose of those were is to get the church ready for the return of Jesus Christ. Now we know this. Many of his people, because in 1950, he said in a vision that Jesus told him, many of my people are not going to be ready to meet me. Many won't. I ain't going to be part of that many. I hope you've decided to not be part of that many. I'm going to be ready. But see, we need to understand this, the importance of ready. Ready to meet Jesus means this. Jesus talked about the master who comes back and finds his servants sawing off the Z's, beating up the other servants, doing all the stuff. Those are the servants who are not going to be ready. The ones that are ready are doing the work of Jesus. They are the ready ones. They will be the ready ones doing the works of Jesus. That's why the Lord has me emphasizing in this area. Because, see, and especially in the area of dealing with demonic powers and healing the sick. They are the two major things. The two major things of the church. Finances is not a major. The major of ministry is the healing of the sick. The casting out of devils. That is the major. They are the major things to emphasize because that is the anointing of the time. Those are the dinner bells that bring the lost in. The loss coming in for money always amount to nothing. Because when the money don't come, they leave. It's about the power of God. This revival is about the power of God coming. The power. Oh, I'm going to tell you, once you experience the power, who could give you enough money to give it up to something else? Woo! I ain't giving up this anointing for nothing. We're pressing into this anointing. We're pressing in. We're going further in this thing. Amen. We're stepping into it further. We're not going after less. We're going after more. Amen. I am not happy. I know that there's things that I've only just touched into. I know. The Lord spoke to me about things. Their heart, man, how much more could He get? How much more could we have? See, I believe there's just an unlimited resource that we're going to step into. Hallelujah. Lord. In one of the prophecies that Kenneth Hagin gave, he talked about a portion of the glory which is in the time to come, which is dealing with the end of this age. Is dealing with, we're going to step into a new age and into a new time. And you'll always find this out, that there was always part of the glory, and any time there was an age change and a move of God, that part of the glory, when that age was ending and another period was starting, and you would start to see some of that glory start happening through people over before the change came. And the one prophecy, but Kenneth Hagin has talked about that, the glory that is coming. See, we're coming close to the place where the church is going to be taken. That glory, part of that glory is going to fall on the church before they leave. I'm just going to tell you this. The Lord spoke to me back when I was a young Christian and told me, He said, when Jesus comes, He said, the church is going to know. He said, we're just going to be ready. We know He's coming. Amen. See, people say, well, the Bible says you don't know. The Bible spoke that to Israel concerning Christ coming to set up His kingdom. He said, they won't know the day and the hour. He never said that to the church. I wish ministers would read the Bible sometime. How are we supposed to get ready for the end? We don't know it's here. You think Noah was going to finish building the ark and he thought maybe 500 years it'll start raining maybe. You just never know. We're living in the days of Noah. And I'm going to tell you what, the ark's about to shut. It's time for glory to fall because there's a lot more need to come in the ark. There's a lot more need to be brought in the ark. I just tell you this, if you don't rise up and stand in your place, you'll have loved ones that'll be lost. It'll cost us. I don't want people to be lost because I was lazy.
Amen.
I don't want people to be lost because I wouldn't step in. Hell's for eternity. It ain't a bad night. And in a little bad time, it's eternity. Man, I want to see people come into the kingdom. This glory is coming. You see, there was a glory coming. You know, there was a guy who was casting out demons in the name of Jesus. Now, he wasn't one of Jesus' disciples. In fact, John came to Jesus and said, this guy's out of here casting out demons in your name, and we told him to knock it off because he's not with us. You see, part of the glory of the new birth age came in, this guy picked it up. He got a revelation from God that he could use that name to cast out demons. He got a revelation before, you know, because the disciples, Jesus was specifically sending them out and ordaining them. Jesus didn't ordain that man. Jesus didn't touch him, didn't send him out. And he's out there doing it. Wow, see the glory. This guy got a revelation. This is why you want to get over into the spirit of things, because I've seen the glory to come and I know some of that glory that's going to fall in this side. And you need to see it. You need to go after it, because I want that glory falling in this side. I want it on me.
Amen.
I want that glory to fall over here. Hallelujah. See, you can't get on you what you don't get a revelation of. You receive it by faith. You can get a hold of it. See, this is what he's doing. This is the glory of that side. We're going to have some glory right over here on this side. Hallelujah. We're pushing into it now. We're pushing into it now. That's going to be the greatness of this outpouring of the Spirit, is because there's people going to step into the glory of the resurrection of the church on this side. Oh my God, it's going to change things. It's going to change things. The devil ain't going to know what to do. When that glory falls, when that people start walking over into that glory, oh my, 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 what'll happen? Who could tell? Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 You know, I'm just going to tell you some stuff. You need to start licking your lips. I want some of that. It's like, look, it's a good food. Oh, man, you get the odor and the smell of it, and I want to eat it. I'm going to tell you, don't smell it. Get over there and eat it.
Amen.
You can go over there and eat it. You can go over there and taste that stuff. Hallelujah. And I'll guarantee you, once you taste it over there, you'll want to go back for another taste. You'll be tired of tasting the things you thought was important, you thought was good. Oh, my, 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 my. You'll get over there and say, we eat lunch over here. Whew! Glory to God. Can't wait to get home from work so I can get back over there. Hallelujah. I can get over in that place again. Glory to God. I want to get over there. Hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Father, I just thank you today. Lord God, I'm just so grateful how patient you've been with all of us and you put up with us. My God, you didn't never threw none of us out. Hallelujah. You kept us all. My words, Lord, I don't even know if I'd have kept me. But you did. And Lord, you were patient over time. But Lord God, I pray for these ones, Lord God. Father, to get past many of these things, Lord God, we have to deal with the flesh. And Lord God, we can't do that just by willpower. Willpower is not enough. Willpower will never be enough. Lord God, we need the glory. We need the glory, Lord God, to change things. We need the glory to change things, Lord God. And Father, I want to thank you. I want to thank you, Lord God. Lord God, as we press in, Lord God, I want to thank you for your power that comes and works in us, Lord God. Lord, your glory, as Jesus did. Lord God, Lord, if Jesus needed touched by an angel, it sure wouldn't be bad for us to be touched, Lord God, and be strengthened, Lord God. And Lord God, I pray that you strengthen them with might by your Spirit in their inner man, so Christ can dwell in their hearts by faith, that they would be rooted and grounded in love, be able to comprehend with all the saints what's the height and length and depth and breadth of the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that they might be filled with all the fullness of you, Lord God. Hallelujah. And to you, Lord God, who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above what we imagine or think, according to the power that works in us. Hallelujah. And to you, Lord God, be glory in the church through Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Well, it's a good day. It's always a good day to do the will of God. Hallelujah. Can't get a better day than to do in the day you do the will of God. Hallelujah. I don't know about you. Glory to God. I just know inside I fulfilled what I was supposed to do. So it's a good, has to be a good day. No matter what it looks like. No matter who says what. Hallelujah. If God can fulfill His plans and purposes, it always leads to the blessing of us.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Lord bless you. Have a glorious week.